the more they niche down to their local community, greater opportunity for them to achieve market saturation against, you know, less competition.
And this goes along with the strategy of whatever you do, you want to dominate it. You don't want to be average, right?
Hey, it's Sam Alai here, founder of My Legal Academy, where we help lawyers scale and automate their law firms so they could sign up more clients and reclaim their precious time. If you're looking to grow your practice while working less, click the link in the show notes to book a free call to discover a radically different way to grow your law firm. Enjoy the episode.
Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 440 of The Law Entrepreneur. So our topic today is how to dominate your local market through the power of geographic micro niching. And I will tell you that this is one of the areas that I've been focused on for a while now. And largely, I can point to the fact that my law practice really took off when I focused down on micro niching based on a geographic location. So just to give a little bit of a background, I used to be a litigator, and then I converted over to estate planning. And I thought, well, you know, I practice estate planning all over the state of Maryland. That's where I'm located, in Maryland. And so initially, I was marketing to the entire state with the idea that I was doing estate planning electronically, allowing the clients to work from the comfort of their own home. And so it didn't matter to me where they were located, where they lived. I figured the bigger the ocean, the more fish there were for me to address. And so that's how I kicked off my estate planning practice. Well, a few years later, you know, it wasn't as successful as I really would have liked. And I had a lot of spread out cases all over. And I talked to this guy who ran this company called Legal Funnels. His name was Sam Malai. And he was repeating a phrase that's often heard in the marketing world, that the riches are in the niches. And I was struggling to figure out, you know, how can I niche my estate planning practice? Because estate planning pretty much is the same regardless of what geographic location you're working out of. And it finally got to the point where I was looking at where I was spending my marketing dollars and where I was getting my results. And I started to recognize that the closer I got to home, the more success I was having. So I took that leap and I said, you know what? The local town that I live in has more than enough potential clients to serve my needs. So let me start to focus down exclusively on the town that I live in. Given the fact that only about 37% of adults have an estate plan, that left a pretty big, if not ocean, a gigantic Great Lake around me to ply my trade and to fish for clients. So that's what I did. And I can say the two things that literally made my practice a success, again, I will give credit where credit is due, Sam, largely as a result of listening to you. One was hiring my first full-time virtual assistant. And the second thing was micro-niching my marketing strategy down to a local geographic area. So today, we're going to talk about five reasons why that allows you to dominate your competition and really develop the kind of practice and lifestyle that you really hope for. So first and foremost, the first thing to recognize is that it creates a stronger brand presence within your community. Okay? As a result of focusing my marketing efforts on the local community, I became more recognized within the community. You know, with the dollars spread out around the state, I was just another voice amongst the wilderness and was hard to really attract any type of community recognition. But when I started micro-niching and really focused on being the estate planning attorney for regular folks like you and me, that's my tagline, because in my community, it's pretty much regular folks, you know, maybe upper middle class to a degree. Montgomery County, where I live, is pretty affluent county. But in comparison to other areas around us, the town that I live in is much more upper middle class. So being able to be recognized as primary estate planning attorney in my community led to a lot of opportunities. And some of those were strategic partnerships that I was able to form with similarly aligned local businesses, particularly financial planners and CPAs in this area, along with some kind of community organizations, assisted living facilities as an example, and some medical providers, doctors who are catering to an older community. So not that my client base is that old, to be honest with you. So the idea of creating a strong brand presence in the community was something that was directly a result of micro-niching down to a specific geographic area. Now, I know, Sam, in where you're at in the greater Los Angeles community, is there that much local identification amongst the citizens? I mean, I know my daughter lives in Hollywood, but she doesn't think of herself as a Hollywood resident. She thinks of herself as a resident in LA.
Totally. Of course. Yes, absolutely. And there are, in Los Angeles, there are certain faces that are notorious and associated with the city of Los Angeles just based on the frequency and the different places that you see those same faces over and over. You know, I could say a particular, you know, buzzword, and then I could ask 10 people in Los Angeles and probably 7 out of 10 people will say the same name. So yeah, absolutely. Neil, I have a pretty cool strategy, online strategy, where that anybody can apply, again, with trying to be the local, essentially celebrity, that be known for your niche. It's the omnipresence strategy, but it's not being utilized at all. And I actually had this idea about 6 years ago for anybody who can implement this. And this is a strategy. For one client a month, which is, let's say for $3,000 a month, that gives you, if you divide the 3,000 divided by 30 days in a month, that gives you about $100 a day. What you want to do is to create Meta ads, dedicate $50 a day to Meta, $30 a day on TikTok, and $20 a day on YouTube. I would kind of split it that way, about 50% on Meta, 30% on TikTok, and about 20% on YouTube for a total of $100 a day. You have 2 or 3 videos running at all times. These days, it's relatively easy. These platforms give you, instead of going the sophisticated route, creating lead forms, all the things that we share and help lawyers with, you take your top three best videos, you put some money behind those things, and you just target your city with it, and you just let it run. And after a couple of months, you will see you become a celebrity. People will know you, and your effectiveness goes up. And even if you don't have $3,000, even this could be applied to $2,000 a day. It just gives you $6 a day to invest, $35 on Meta, $15 on TikTok, $15 on YouTube. It will work incredibly well. And yeah, you become an overnight celebrity.
I think that leads right into our second point here. It's a perfect example. Is this geographic micro-niching also allows you to achieve your local market saturation at a faster rate. And clearly, as a result of less competition, because you're not competing with other advertisers or other law firms that are from other areas who are advertising in your geographic region. So, and I would say, to your point about your strategy, I would make sure that those videos actually articulate the name of the geographic location. So for instance, just to be specific, I live in a town called Darnestown. So all of my ads feature the word Darnestown in them, because I want the folks who are seeing them and listening to them to recognize that they're not seeing this just because, you know, they meet a general demographic that applies to other people outside of the area. They're seeing it because they are a neighbor of mine in Darnestown. And this allows me to get that market saturation in Darnestown because, you know, I'm not competing with any other estate planning attorneys. So I therefore own that space. And when you kind of search around, when I do my follow-ups with, how did you find out about our law firm? They said, oh, well, it's your Facebook ads or your Facebook post in the local Darnestown community, particularly the Darnestown community Facebook groups. And so without competition from the outside, it become more and more clear that when in this area, if people start to think about doing estate planning, I'm going to be thinking about my firm. Now, I think the same is true, and I've seen this happen with, say, criminal defense attorneys. I know I used to share office space with criminal defense attorneys, and they would advertise in a multi-county jurisdiction, 5, 6, 7 counties, because their view was there's a larger ocean, there's more fish to catch. But as a result, they were just driving themselves nuts because they had court hearings in 5, 6 different jurisdictions per week. And it was an unsustainable model unless they created enough volume that they could hire attorneys and create satellite offices in all those locations. The more they niche down to their local community, greater opportunity for them to achieve market saturation against, you know, less competition.
And this goes along with the strategy of whatever you do, you want to dominate it. You don't want to be average, right? As the market grows, more people enter the space. Essentially, the adoption curve, the same kind of adoption curve that we see, where most of the people are right in the middle, but most of the revenue and the profits go to the top, probably the top 5% max, maybe the top 10% of the businesses. So you want to be in that top 5 to 10%, whatever niche or practice area or market that you're in. And that means going hard into whatever you do. So instead of trying to be an average in your state, then you want to be the dominant player in your city and essentially owning it and having that all-in mentality. And Neil, it starts with your decision to and your commitment to make that your overall strategy, that focus, that I'm going to dominate my city. I'm going to be the number one most well-known, most successful lawyer doing this in this city. It starts with that, which hopefully today's, you know, show will help you, you know, give you that clarity and give you that determination to make that part of your strategy this year.
And one of the things that I found that I was pleasantly surprised by is that, and this leads to our next point, which is, I think we're on what, number 4? And that is that in doing so, in micro-niching down to a smaller geographic area, I actually was able to increase the client experience almost just by default. And as a result, getting higher referral rates from the local community. And why is that? I think when you market to and you service folks that are geographically close-knit and are part of a distinct community, that, you know, yes, you have a stake here. You need to treat them correctly. You need to be able to service them appropriately. They're your friends and neighbors, or they're friends and neighbors of your friends and neighbors. And the community is too small to take them for granted. You know, when you're marketing across the state or across multiple jurisdictions, if you get a client that maybe you don't connect with as well as you would hope, it's kind of easy to put them off to the side a little bit and perhaps not give them the kind of client experience that they deserve, because it's a little bit out of sight, out of mind. But when they're in your backyard, you can't afford to do that. So by definition, it improves the client experience for my clients. And I can directly relate that to the quality of the reviews that I got from satisfied clients. I had nothing but 5-star reviews. Now, I worked hard to achieve that, but I think because I'm working with a tighter knit community and a closer community, it lends itself to more personalized service. Certainly, I could do things quicker. I could respond quicker than if they were, you know, across the other side of the state. I was certainly available in person and accessible. We could go to individuals' homes to meet with them if, for instance, they were homebound. And just, you know, take this scenario. You have somebody who's facing a serious illness and can't leave the house and wants to get their affairs in order, and God forbid that it becomes necessary. The fact that we're able to go to their home and meet with them and get that done and taken care of, put their mind at ease, that creates for a tremendous client experience. I couldn't do that if they were on the other side of the state. Okay, I couldn't do that if they were far away. And what does that lead to? It leads to a real strong word of mouth referrals, happy clients in a close-knit community, just by definition, are going to refer you to people in similar situations. And that's exactly what you want. You know, do I work hard at getting referrals? You know, I do all the things that Sam and the folks at Lawyers Club and My Legal Academy suggest, asking for referrals in the right way, not being pushy about it, but doing so in a timely manner and with a script that is proven to be successful. Doing that while at the same time delivering outstanding client experience is only going to result in higher referrals. And to the extent that we're able to get clients that are happy to leave us a Google review, every time when I ask people, how did you find out about our law firm? And they say, oh, well, and we looked you up online. And I say, well, specifically, do you remember what is it about your contact with our firm that solidified your interest in reaching out to us? And almost always, it's the high number of five-star Google reviews that you got. I don't know that's something you could do if you're spread way thin across a lot of geographic areas.
And because you're serving your market really well, as a result of that, you're getting those Google reviews. And guess what, Neil? Your Google reviews, most likely your clients are throwing in those buzzwords, those keywords. Is an amazing lawyer in the city. There's mentions of your city in there. And you get a couple of those. Google looks at those. So there's somebody searching for best estate planning lawyer in blank. You have a couple of those and there's no mention for your competitors. Well, Google's going to show yours because it's proven they, you know, the other clients have attested that you are the best lawyer in your city. And that's why your Google profile shows up first. And that's why you get so many calls. And that's why you get so many clients, which feeds itself. And again, creates that positive feedback loop for you to get more clients and more reviews and more clients. And it's a flywheel that really feeds itself.
Is exactly right. And I can give you specific examples, you know. When clients say, well, I found out, I discovered Neil and his law firm through the Darnestown Facebook group. Okay. Well, then if anybody in Darnestown does a Google search on estate planning attorneys near me, Google sees that there's an outside review for a person who used the word Darnestown, and that elevates your ranking tremendously. So more so than packing your website with keywords and other SEO marketing techniques, when you get independent reviews to repeat your marketing keywords in their reviews, it's freaking gold.
And Neil, to add to the next point, which is when you dominate your city, you're able to also adjust and adjust your marketing to be specific to your city. So let's just say your website, your contact us page, your emails, your texts, when they're very specific about that you're the best type of lawyer in this city and you're proud of that and you actually, you're explicit with that language, well, all the platforms love that, that you're very specific. And also your clients and your prospects love that because they have specificity and similarity to what they're exactly looking for. Always bring specificity in your marketing. Always just a very significant way to increase your conversion rates by being specific. And what better way to be specific than being very explicit about exactly that you're serve or you're the number one lawyer in your city? What other ways can it help increase your marketing?
Well, this is another example of being able to hyper-target your marketing to specific events and sub-communities within the geographic location that you're addressing. So what do I mean by that? So this allows me, when I run my meta ads, that I can be hyper-targeted in terms of a specific demographic that I want to get that ad, that video in front of. And I'll give you a perfect example. Our local high school community, our local high school football team, won the state championship this year. It's their third time in 4 years. Well, I built an ad campaign around the Quince Orchard High School Cougars winning the state championship. And so all my meta ads were targeted to families that attended QO or had relatives that went to QO or had associated with football who had visited the QO athletic page. I mean, the kind of micro event-driven, geographic-located ads are absolute gold to make sure that you get the attention of the local community, because people are reading and listening to their friends talk about community events when there's a new restaurant that opens up or a new community activity that takes place. We had in October, we had the local Oktoberfest. Again, there's ways to target your ads to piggyback on that local buzz, and that hyper-targeting is just really successful. Then on the extension of that, because you're so wired into the local community, to engage with that community in ways, say, outside of digital marketing. Now, I know you and I, Sam, we've always talked about, if you want to scale, the way to do so is through digital marketing. There's no question about that, not really even up for debate. But if you really want to connect on a personal level, sponsoring local events, again, elementary school, the local PTA, the local Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, I mean, Girl Scouts, all those things position you as a valued member of the local community that you're seeking to serve. And that community engagement continues to just feed upon itself with the digital marketing that you're doing that responds to the community as well.
And once you figure out the game, Neil, what better way to duplicate the same amazing systems and the insights that helped you become successful in one niche across the second city right around you,
yeah,
or around the state or past another state? And that, you know, that's something I always lean into. Once I figure it out, I'm always looking to duplicate the exact same thing across different niches, different practice types, different geographical locations, different partners, whatever that is, you know, not needing to reinvent the wheel, but just duplicating the wheel and scaling up from there.
I couldn't agree more. You know, I'm sure you see this in LA and our listeners see it in lots of places where they live. But here in this community where I'm at, a city called Darnestown, across the street is North Potomac. Across the street is Gaithersburg. Across the street is Germantown. So I can pick up and do exactly what I did in Darnestown, word for word, you know, ad for ad, and just change it to Germantown. And I've scaled a second community, or Gaithersburg. Now I have a third community. And now I'm micro marketing in specific communities that are all connected together. And it's gold.
Yep. I was going to say. Oh, yeah. So to our listeners, by the way, we have a lot going on in Lawyer Club. Just last week, Neil, I did an hour and a half, very comprehensive training on AI mastery for lawyers.
Yeah.
It was for our members, My Legal Academy members, where we shared things that are probably 2 or 3 years ahead of everyone else. You know, I shared an AI tool that answers your email for you, or that writes your emails for you. Not copy and pasting from ChatGPT, no, even a much better way. It's a way that AI is able to get trained on your entire email inbox and learn your voice and know exactly who it's speaking to with all the nuances you could possibly imagine. It's really mind-blowing, and I keep getting texts from a bunch of the attendees who attended. They're like, this is incredible, Sam. Second thing that we shared is I shared how to train AI on your legal documents. Again, not outside of ChatGPT. Really cool way. Using one of Google's products. And the third way is how I use ChatGPT the most. I use it throughout the whole day. I had pretty much have it open at all times, and I'm probably using it at least 5 to 10 times a day. And I share exactly how I use it by creating very custom AI agents that I tap into for different niches and different things that I'm working on. All that is shared inside of Lawyer Club. If you go to joinlawyerclub.com, you'll find the link in the show notes below. Definitely join us there. And tomorrow, Neil, I think it'll be too late by the time this recording gets posted, but I just want to share, we're doing a mastering law firm intake.
Okay, yeah.
I'm bringing on my COO, who manages all my law firms for me, and we're sharing all the insights of how we've been able to currently sign up 1,000 clients per month know, there's a system to the madness. Every time I share the number, it sounds crazy to me, but we're sending up 1,000 clients a month. And we share how we do it and our systematic approach to it. It's the same copy and paste kind of formula that we apply across the law firms. I want to know those insights. Hopefully, if you're watching this and listening to this live, amazing. This should be, if you go to joinlawyerclub.com, everything is posted there. If not, join us there. If not, please book a call at mylegalacademy.com and get on the bandwagon. These things are, you know, competitive advantage. We're about competitive advantage. Basically, our value is jumping on trends early, taking full advantage of it, sharing with our members. We have implementers who come set up all these systems for you. Again, if you've been on the fence, take this as a call to action to join us and make this year the best year yet. We appreciate you, Neil. And any last words?
No, like you said one time, you repeated, I'm sure you're not taking credit for it, that I think, was it Russell who said it first, that the riches are in the niches? I'm not really
sure. It's the not an original thought, but you need that
mindset. And however you niche down, whether it's, you know, practice area or geographic area or based on the client, for me, it was the easiest thing was geographic. And I think we've demonstrated that with the discussion today. But your practice area, your law firm, there may be different ways for you to achieve the same results by focusing on a more narrow target audience rather than spreading yourself too thin.
For sure. Maybe for a future episode, Neil will do a niching down on the who, which is also another good secret sauce. All right. We'll see you in the next episode. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to The Law Entrepreneur. If you found value in the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. And don't forget to share the episode with a friend. It could help transform their life. To get access to a treasure trove of exclusive free resources for lawyers, go to joinlawyerclub.com. Again, that's joinlawyerclub.com. We'll see you on the next episode.